Hey, where'd you get those?
I bought them when we filled up.
Well, wait, but we're supposed to talk about all expenditures, Lloyd. We are on a very tight budget.
This didn't come out of our travel fund.
Oh.
No, I was able to raise 25 extra bucks before we left.
Where did you get 25 extra bucks?
I sold some stuff to Billy and 4C.
The blind kid?
Yeah.
What did you sell him, Lloyd?
Stuff.
What kind of stuff?
I don't know. A few baseball cards, a sack of marbles. Petey.
Petey? You sold my dead bird to a blind kid? Lloyd, Petey didn't even have a head.
Harry, I took care of it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. Welcome to episode 105. We got the Northern Wisconsin Muskie opener preview pod coming up, and we do have a special guest, as you probably have already seen in the title. And this time I do have a returning host back here. I know last week, Brian and Max were gone and we had Matt and Taylor fill in. It was really nice of them to fill in. Had a great chat with them, but we got the boys back because we are going to have a nice Mott weekend for the opener with all of us. So without further ado, let me introduce none other than Brian Eckel. How are you doing? How was your week last week? What's going on?
Ready for opener? I am super ready. I got all the golf out of me this past weekend. Went out to Minneapolis, played in way too cold of weather to golf. Still had a good time, though. I've been kind of just plugging along this week, waiting for that Friday bell to ring where I can start heading north. Almost made it. Been a long winter, long time coming. Can almost sense it here coming up, so absolutely stoked.
Hell yeah. Good to hear. Well, this weekend, yeah, we got a lot to chat about, but we also have on the line here, one of our co-hosts, our guest tonight, is Mr. Brian Schaefer from Schaefer Outdoors. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
Doing awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Happy to have you on. We'll be chatting some good stuff. I think right now we're going to start with an on the line segment. We do have one dialed up that I think the listeners have to hear right away. And it is going to be, well, I'll just let it go and let you guys listen to this one.
What up, boys? Calling in live from Las Vegas, Nevada, the luxurious Excalibur Hotel. Wanted to wish everybody a very happy Northern Wisconsin opener and also maybe give my predictions here on what our boat's going to be doing at the Northern Wisconsin Muskie opener. I said back a couple months ago the goals are this year, PMA, positive Muskie attitude, good vibes. I think with that being said, though, if Brian takes any of my fish this weekend, things are going to get messy. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But again, positive Muskie attitude, positive vibes only. Obviously last year for me was a tough one on opener because of what I just said. You know, Brian kind of copping a few of my fish last year. So we're going to change that up this year. I think Brian and Gus are going to be holding it down on one side of the boat. Then you have Jack and I are going to be casting most of the time off the Canadian side of the boat. I think that's where the big mom is coming from, the queen, this weekend. So while Brian and Gus are up there throwing their little twitch baits, their little gliders, and Jack and I are going to be throwing the real man lures off the Canadian side of the boat, I think that's where we're going to pop the queen this weekend. So over under on fish, I'm going to put it right around, the double digit mark. I'm going to say 10 fish in the 3 days. I'm going big. Expectations are high.
Ridiculous.
Again, even if we have an off weekend, it's PMA, positive vibes only. I wish everybody great success in their Northern Wisconsin opener besides Brian and miss
Brian
you guys
Eckel.
And I'll catch you on the next episode. See you.
I think he's meeting.
Hey.
Yeah.
How many Vegas drinks are you deep there? It sounded like you'd had a couple. Yeah, I'm glad to be here tonight, fellas. I didn't think I'd make the episode. Brian Schaefer was nice enough to accommodate. I'm back from Las Vegas, dealing with a little bit of the Vegas cold right now. But yeah, I was coming back from a little work function there, and just thought might as well just give the fellas a call here, drop it on the line. But yeah, excited to be here with you tonight, guys. We are 48 hours away from being all up in the North Woods and getting this party started.
Now that you've sobered up a bit, is that 10.5 Vegas line still stand?
I mean, I know that I was kind of being more sarcastic. You know, Gus is always about keeping expectations low, so I just wanted to throw out something a little lofty. Have some fun with it, but we'll get to our predictions later on. I mean, I think seeing the weather forecast, we'll talk about it and kind of maybe our predictions on how the bite's gonna be. But sorry to take a few shots at you there, Brian. That's my fault. My bad, man.
Oh, it's all good. I expect it from you. If it makes you feel good, do what you gotta do, dog.
So you mentioned you played some golf last weekend. How'd that go?
Not good. Too cold to be golfing. Almost too cold to be fishing.
And it sounded like you sent me a nice text on Saturday night before I left for Vegas that you were actually going to head to the casino here in Minneapolis. How'd that go? Better than golfing?
No. Definitely quicker than golf. Round felt like it took forever. I felt like I was in a casino for 30 minutes and didn't want to go back to the ATM. So,
Oh man, nothing like
yeah.
shooting 90 and then losing 400 bucks.
If only, right?
What a day. What a day. Hey man,
Anyways,
hope your luck changes. Hope it turns around for you this
am
weekend.
due. If anybody's due, I got it all out of me.
Do factor.
Good stuff. Good
Oh
stuff.
man.
Hey Max, even if you hit half of your goal, 5 fish for the weekend, still awesome. So.
Oh yeah. No,
Oh yeah.
I'll be happy with just honestly catching one, I think, this weekend. Yeah, we always give Gus a hard time every time we're setting goals for the weekend. We're always like, yeah, I mean, Gus, you should be able to put us on like 10, 12 fish this weekend, right? You know, not a big deal.
Been out scouting enough.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake. Well, I mean, the only benefit we got is running four. At least I've seen some benefit come from that for sure.
Sure.
A few situations in lakes where the guy off the Canadian side is kind of hosed for the most part until you switch around, but no, I got some high hopes for anybody who's casting off the back. I myself might run the spot a little different and I'll take one for the team and chuck it out there too.
Well,
But no,
Gus,
what's up?
real. I just want to set the stage here. So we're talking about numbers of fish and kind of how things are set up for this weekend. So I'm just gonna start with Mr. Schaefer over there and kind of pick his brain on what he's seeing. So, you guys have gotten hit with this pretty gnarly cold front up there in the North Woods, and I'm just looking at the weather right now, kind of leading up to opener here. So sounded like it was pretty cold out there on the water for you guys today with a big north wind, mid-50s. Thursday mid-50s, Friday mid-50s, and then opener it starts to creep up a little bit. We got 60, 66, 69 for highs for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but the lows are all the way down into the upper 30s, low 40s, and we have, pretty much a consistent north to northeast wind all weekend. So I'll start with like I said, Mr. Brian Schaefer over there. What are your thoughts on that weather pattern leading up to opener here?
Well, on a positive note, I mean, it's supposed to be sunny every day now through the
True.
weekend. So, it's going to be upper 50s, low 60s. We got the sun, so that'll be warming up the water nicely. We've had north and east winds for the last, man, week and a half.
Too long.
So, keep that in mind on areas to fish too. So it's been a consistent north wind, northeast wind, which we're going to have over the weekend too. So,
I mean,
yeah.
is the consistency good in this scenario, or would you like to see that flip into a west wind, bright skies, sunny?
I don't know, with that long of a wind pattern going on, it can help you if you fish the right areas, the wind blowing areas. So it doesn't bother me none. When I was back in Pewaukee, we had kind of a spring like this. All May it was out of the east, and that whole west shoreline, the wind just blowing, and it was just on fire that whole month. So as long as you have some decent areas to fish on that, south shoreline, or yeah.
Yeah, I could see it definitely showing some benefit. I just bopped around trying to look for a couple walleyes in the spot, some spots that I found with my buddy Nick the other week, and it was all like south facing stuff, and I think we had like a south wind that day or southeast. I think it might have been east southeast, but either way, I was facing that wind was blowing in. The walleyes were there; it was all good. And today it was just dead north northeast and blowing out of there, and I don't think I marked more than a couple up there. I was just driving around and took a couple casts, and I was like, well, they're not here. Fish are definitely following the wind, but
And that was on the North Shore.
north shore of a lake. I mean, I guess, yeah. Because usually in the spring, when the water warms up quick, the wind blows all the warmest water to where it's blowing to. Like if it's a north wind, it's on the south shore. But right now, and I don't know how you feel about this, Brian Schaefer, but that cold kind of snapped the lakes. It doesn't have as much of a varying, there's still varying temperatures, but it's cold or colder. Like today I went to a shallow slack water area and I saw as cold as like 53, 54. And then you get just out from it and where the wind's kind of blowing to, and it goes right back up to like 56, and that's where there was fish being marked, just bass and walleye that I was going for. But it definitely seemed to make a difference. I don't know how much you feel about that warmer water, if that's something you really look for.
Well, normally with the winds, but exactly how you said, how cold it's been and everything. The only thing we got going for us is, again, like I said, with the sunny days, we'll warm it up during the midday, so we'll have that. But otherwise, yeah, I'm sure everything pulled out of the shallows. You're going to have some small stuff up there, but so your Canadian side might actually not be so bad.
Think so.
Right.
I mean, the stability is not, I think the stable weather coming up, like the steady rise in temperature and like the slow, steady decrease in wind from, now it was gale force. Now it's going down to moderate force to low. And I feel like that's good. But I mean, man, we had, I think most lakes were established into the 60s and mid 60s, and some of them almost 70 up here. And
Right.
I'd beg to guess that there might not be a lake in Vilas at this moment that's above 60 surface temp right now, with how
I
cold it's
believe.
been and windy.
Well, the
So it
last time I
changed
was
quite a
out was
bit.
with you on Sunday, when we were scoping out some water. So I haven't been out the last few days. I'm not complaining about it either.
Hey, you ain't missing too much. But I wouldn't mind it being a little sunnier and nicer out if I'm going for the fish that are just bait to muskies. So
Exactly. But I mean,
that's
all the
a
walleyes we've been getting this year, and it's been a really good year for that. The windblown shorelines, So, you always got those north bays everyone talks about, but with the winds direction we've been having pretty consistently for the last 2 weeks now, definitely check them south shores.
that's good
Yeah,
to know.
that makes sense. So, doesn't sound like you guys are overly too concerned about maybe a little bit colder weather and some north winds. I mean, I think we do have a couple things going for us. One, just it is going to be, considerably warmer over the weekend than it has been the last couple days up there. I mean, we're Saturday might not be, but Sunday is 66 and sunny, Monday is 69 and sunny for highs. I mean, that's much better than, a low to mid 50 degree day. And then I also think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, well, if we're falling on a pretty good moon phase for the weekend, is that
New moon
am I
on Monday.
accurate? Yeah,
Yeah, new
so
moon Monday.
we get the 3 days leading up to new moon, which I feel like that never happens for opener, or I can't remember the last time we've gotten like a good moon phase for opener.
It's usually not, no. I mean, every once in a while I get maybe like a quarter or something where you get a good moon phase near sunrise or sunset, but no, I mean this time we have like moon set happening, I think on opener it's around 6 p.m. and then it gradually gets, closer to sunset by Monday. You guys will be on your way home though, but I know I'm getting right back on the water on Monday night. I meant Monday, sorry.
Sure. Yeah.
I actually
So
like the gradual warm up that we are having. I would have liked, a little bit more of a warm up, like starting already, but on a positive note, we are going up and not down. So
yeah, I feel like
that's
we're on
very
the
true.
right side of the trend.
Right.
So you talked a little bit about maybe some of those fish pulling off. I mean, do you think that is going to be something we're going to see this weekend with some of the at least the more quality fish? Won't be, kind of up in those spawning bays anymore.
I think it's worth a shot. I mean, those small lakes got so warm. I think just about every small and shallow and stained lake up here probably spawned pretty good. I mean, we had like 2 weeks straight of like pure sun and pretty much 75 to 85 degree weather that ramped up the water temp. And I myself and tons of reports from people saying they've been seeing muskies in shallow on stained lakes since like May 2nd or even earlier. So that's a while ago. I think that's a good thing. And like Schaefer said, the steady warm up is definitely a positive on the note that it is a little bit colder. But no, I think there's a chance that with the heat up and the post spawn fish getting to that upper 60 degree temp, I think some fish pulled off onto secondary structure, and I think this cold front did. To be honest, it probably kept a few shallow and a few out deep. They might be slightly scattered, possibly. I think
That's
it's
exactly
worth a
what
look
I was
for
going
all
to
of
say.
it. Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of scattered fish. I think
Yeah.
there's going to be some up shallow with the warm up, and then you're going to have some holding off the breaks there from the cold front and just hanging out there.
Lovely. I feel like I've fished scattered fish since like last early August.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you all go find a
Last time.
tree and get uptight for me and relax?
Yeah,
Dude,
just
I think literally if we fish a lake, I mean, I don't want to sound ridiculous, but if we go to like a Cisco-based lake, I bet you we could find a fish in 60 feet of water and 6 inches of water, possibly on the same in within the same hour.
yeah.
Guarantee you would.
Yeah. But
Perfect.
I don't know how much we're gonna do of that. I mean, that's like a shot in the dark on really going after a big one. I don't know, what's your thoughts, Brian? I know you are kind of a river guy. You go down south to do the river for southern opener, and then you like flowages up here. What are your thoughts on deep clear lakes on opener? Have you really tried that much?
Yeah, I have. And I mean, if we were a little earlier, I mean, you can hit that pre-spawn, which I think we're too late for the pre-spawn. I think the deep clear lakes are pretty much in spawn right now, so we'd miss that.
Yeah.
But if you can get a nice cold spring, you can get pre-spawn and really good chance at catching a big fish. But I mean, like you guys last year, you hit that clear lake and you hit some nice fish off the break. That was kind of post-spawn, if I remember right.
I think they were, yeah. I think they're on their way out. Yeah.
Yeah. But no,
Yep.
that's just another option for sure. But I do like starting off on rivers and flowages. It progressed pretty quickly and the larger fish are ready to eat right away. So we can generally put some larger fish in the boat, right away on opening weekend.
That's good. What I got a question for you, and I maybe know part of the answer just because we were in the boat on Sunday scoping that lake out. It had lower weeds than you were expecting. What have you seen in other lakes for weed growth this year? I know that's kind of a something that people want to know.
All right. It's a little behind, I think. In certain areas, some areas they're coming up pretty decent, and other areas they're way behind. So, but pretty much I would say they're pretty much average. We found some of those weeds that were really nice in shallow waters, and in other areas where there are supposed to be weeds up where they're normally pretty high already, we went there and there was nothing there. So,
How much do
yeah.
you weigh like weed growth in terms of kind of dictating where fish are? Like if it's, ankle high new growth, will the fish still kind of congregate there because it'll bring in some of the bait fish, or are you looking for just, the tallest weeds you can find?
Well, ankle high is decent if that's all you can find. But yeah, the higher the better, you know. And all the fish, all the walleyes we've been catching, even crappies this year, all been tucked in the weeds and in the new weed growth. So if you can find decent weed growth, you're going to find fish, no doubt about it. You know, if the
Yeah.
crappies, walleye, there's bait there. There's going to be muskies nearby. So
Yeah, they
that's the great thing, like what you're doing, Gus, every day going out on the water and scoping them out, finding weeds. You know, it was kind of a nice thing that we did that on Sunday because certain areas that I knew normally had decent weeds weren't there. So it just saves time. And I mean, you can get out and get the job going right away.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, we might hit some lakes this weekend that I haven't touched this year, just because I've been doing a lot of bass fishing and not a ton of the bass lakes I end up musky fishing per se. But or at least on opener, I should say, because some of them are, you know, deep and clear and whatnot. But yeah, I definitely see a benefit. I mean, especially fishing. And seeing, like, if you're just fishing a shoreline for bass and walleye and you see the muskies cruising on side image, or you visually see them up in the shallows, it kind of gives you an idea of where they probably spawned, and then you don't have to look far on your map of where their next place is going to be to eat in their post spawn. So it definitely helps out.
So
For
I
sure.
got a question for you, Brian, for openers in the past. I know this is kind of just a broad general statement, but you always hear people catching kind of like a bycatch muskie while they're flipping a little beetle spin or whatever bass bait they're using early in the year like this. You'll have one other guy in your boat for opener. Will you be throwing something super small? Are you scared at all to throw anything that might be too big? Or kind of how's your bait selection go?
All over the rainbow, really. I
Throw in the kitchen
really
sink.
like, yeah, pretty
Kitchen sink.
much. Medium to large baits generally. My partner, he'll throw, Rizzo Whizzes. He's done really good on Rizzo Whizzes. Catch a lot of fish on those things early in the season. But like super small baits, not really. But I generally start with anywhere from a 6 to 7 all the way up to 9. And when you think about it, even that 9 inches is pretty small. We're catching walleyes right now, 14 inches, and they're all bit up already. Muskies are grabbing them. So 9 inch, you look at a 9 inch sucker, it's pretty small.
Yeah. If you're working, so one, I got a question for you. If you want to use like a larger bait, typically like a larger bait is heavier, but you want to work it slower because it's colder water. What's maybe a large bait that you can still work aggressive, but also let it hang, or something better for cold water?
Well, this year that 9-inch slammer I'm pretty pumped to use, but otherwise, like grannies, I'm a big, crankbait, grandmas, jakes, and you can
Yeah.
work them pretty slow, little
We
man.
had a lot of success. Honestly, I think it was in the spring on opener 1 year, and I think it worked also in the fall while the fish were still up tight to the weeds. But it was like a was it 10-inch Jake or 10-inch grandma? I
It
think
was
both of
10-inch
them.
Jake for
Yeah.
sure.
And just like slapping it around like really jittery and then just like letting it slow rise. And then slapping it super quick and letting it rise. And I think that was on opener 1 year too. I mean, usually we use smaller cranks, but
They were
that
like
bigger.
7 or 8 inch size, and then in the fall it was like the 10-inch Jake, and yeah, we were like
It's like a, only
what am
thing
I
we can
trying to
move them
say?
on.
Yeah, we were trying to rip it like extremely fast, and it was in the fall. I want to say it was like upper 40-degree temps, and they were firing after it, going crazy hard. And I think that spring we got them like dummy shallow, like 2, 3 feet of water on crankbaits, ripping it super hard. I think that was like upper 50s temps. I think that's similar to this year. I'd have to think about that spring on what was. I can't remember the progression. That might have been 4 or 5 years ago, or so. I just remember that day it was like upper 50s, like 59 degree temps in the morning. I think by afternoon we got to like 62 to 64, and then the fish just lit up on fire like after, I don't know what time, 2, 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah, I had to charge up in the sun a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, and usually I'll start on the smaller side right away in the morning, that 7 inch, 6, 7 inch. And as the day warms up, I'll start using some larger baits and being a little more aggressive, and even some tails, blades.
Let's talk about that opening morning. So we were kind of chatting about it here before we recorded. We were joking around that, usually we try to get up nice and early, but you were saying that maybe this year it might not be a year to rush out there right away. I thought it was kind of interesting though. Do you want to just talk about that kind of real quick on what your thoughts are with that?
They're talking about 37 degree, 38 degree right away in the morning. So, it's a little warmer right around 4, but then it cools down around 6, 7, it seems like, right when that sun's coming up, 6:30 or whatever. And man, that'd be really cold. I mean, we've caught some nice fish when it's been really early. I mean, it's still dark out in the morning and it's pretty cold, and we've caught fish. But the older I get, I'm getting a little more wimpier, and you start thinking about breakfast, and you can still be on the water by 7. This sounds pretty good.
Might have to be right there with you on that one.
Yeah. We'll see. I say that now, and I'll be all pumped up and hyped up at 4 in the morning. All right, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, we might try that. Maybe one or it would have to take at least three of us to really get the train moving in this cabin. Having four people.
Who's the slow one?
Yep.
Oh, you could probably guess who the slow one is.
I think all our boxes are in different order.
Oh,
Yeah, I know you pointed.
he
So I don't know who you
probably
pointed
pointed
to.
at Gus. My favorite is like, we'll be setting our alarms for the next morning. I'm like, all right, I'm setting mine at 5. And Brian's like, come on, man, like 5 o'clock. Are you serious? And it's like, come on, at least give me to 5:15. And I'm like, what is 15 extra minutes of sleep gonna do for you tomorrow?
Because I round up by the time we're going to bed. I'm like, all right, go to bed now. It's like 5 hours of sleep. Perfect. Don't short me that.
That extra 15 minutes always, you're just always looking for another 15 minutes.
It's a little snooze.
Funny. Yeah, but
So is
we
we
caught fish real early in the morning, and then there's other times, even like this opener, this southern opener we have, we got out pretty early, and by 9:30 or so, and you don't see a fish, you don't have anything. You're like, man, we could have slept in and ate some nice breakfast and everything before we got here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I for totally forgot. How was that opener? I know we talked about it, but how was Southern opener down the Wisconsin River?
It was tough. It was really cold in the morning again. I think it was in the 30s. I mean, my fingertips were getting cold and everything, but by midday, later in the day, it got really warm, and we started off with water temps in like 51, and by the time we got off the water that day, it was 59. We ended
Jeez.
up losing one and catching one of 42, but that's all we got for the weekend. And then Sunday was kind of flat, calm, and sunny, and they just died right off.
Would you
Yeah.
catch 42 on?
Nooch crankbait. So twitch bait.
I don't know if I know that one.
Nooch. 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 Cool little
How
custom crankbait.
big
It's
is
about
it?
7 inches with the
Seven
tail. It has
inches.
a little twister tail on it. Yeah.
Okay. Did you
Usually I got
notice?
really good on round nose, chaos gliders. But they weren't on gliders. Actually, the first fish we lost was on a glider, but
Did you
you didn't
notice
like.
that same trend where, like, as the day heats up, the fish start to show themselves a little bit more? Was it pretty dead in the morning on the
Yes,
opener?
it was very dead.
Yeah.
That's why we were thinking we should eat breakfast.
Taking what you've learned to the northern opener.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I mean,
Unfortunately,
look,
I
keep
know
telling him
it
this.
just seems like the cooler it is, the cooler the water temperatures, I do better on glide baits. And as it warms up, then it seems like twitch baits kind of
Yeah.
take over.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
Gus,
What?
you wanna quickly, or you had something to say there?
Oh, I was just gonna add to this, this nice maybe don't get it at the crack of dawn talk we got going on here is we do have a very nice moon phase at like 10, the right hour of 10:30 a.m. So like a 9:30 to 11:30.
And Gus,
That's a
that was
nice
the other
one.
reason why I thought about breakfast. I was like, well, we got that nice window. We could eat breakfast and still be out there for that window.
Yeah, because if you're out there at 5, you don't see anything until that window. You might be hanging on for dear life by then.
Oh, yeah.
Gus, you want to fire up one more on the line here? get us mix it up here?
Yeah, let's I'm gonna do one quick that is gonna, while we kind of chatted about baits, let's do another one that's about baits. So here comes one from Brett. I will play it right now.
Hey guys, Brett here. I got a good question for you. So when you're on the water, nothing seems to be going right. Nothing's working, and you're stumped. What is the go-to confidence bait for each of you that you're going to go grab from the box? Just the first one that came to mind when you hear that question. You can't list more than one, just one bait. What would it be if you nothing's working right and you're going to put something on that you have confidence in all the time? What are you grabbing?
I love how
All
Brett
right.
said. I love how Brett said. I got a good question for you. I do agree that is a good question, Brett. It is a good question.
Very
We'll
solid question.
change it, tweak it just a little. Just like if nothing's
Hey,
going right for opener, what bait are you grabbing? Three baits. I don't
That's
want to
what
hear
I'm gonna
like.
say. That's
I
a Brian's
don't want
gonna
to hear
pick like
pounder.
seven baits. Well, who wants to go first?
I mean, I
If
can
you're
start us
stumped.
off. The one bait that immediately came to mind, like he said, and I'm not saying I've had the best results on this or anything, but it just seems like a well-rounded bait for the time of year, is the, I believe it's 7-inch fatty slammer minnow.
Something like
Is that
that.
correct?
It's like
It's
a
a
seven inch
7-inch.
slammer.
And
The fat ones, I think, are six. Maybe they make a seven.
then it's a six, yeah.
I
Six-inch
think it's a
fatty
six.
slammer.
With the BB in it.
Yeah, yep.
6-inch fatty minnow. That's
Can
it.
work it like a good 3 feet down. It's got a quick rise to it. Just feels like a really solid all around crankbait, jerkbait.
I dig that. I'm gonna say the one that came right to mind were like, I mean, you can rifle through the box, but when in doubt, I'd throw on just a swimming dog and start straight retrieving and look at the sun for a little bit and hope something tugs on the line. That's about where I'm at. If things are really tough, might catch a pike or two.
There we go.
Yeah,
Feel
great.
something. Max, Brian.
Go ahead.
I would say, yeah, man.
First
Like
thing to mind, one bait.
normally when we're really struggling on opener, that's where I'm about as lost can be, because you got nothing to go off of, no pre-fishing from that, leak sweeten up or anything. But I would say, on opener, I've actually caught a good amount of fish, throwing really, really small bucktails. I know it's pretty status quo, but that we got a couple like MEPS,
Musky killer.
Musky killer, the giant killer,
You like the
one of
willow blade
those.
one or the French blade one of you? I'm
The
trying to think of what.
French blade, the black and orange. Those little giant killers. Or just the orange deer hair. With the, I think it's a French blade or something. The nubby orange hair one. You gotta know which one I'm talking about.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's
I
the
do.
giant killer. That's the willow one.
Okay. I was like, I don't know. It's been in the box for so long, I guess I don't even know what it is.
Barely has hair
I
on it
just,
anymore.
yeah, I
It's just
just
a
grab it.
hook and a
It's, I mean,
blade.
it's a hook and a blade with about a thumb size of deer hair on it at this point. And it's caught fish for us early
Every
season.
year.
Pretty much every year, I want to say somebody in the boat's gotten one on that thing, and somehow keeps finding its way back into the tackle box. I'm not mad about it.
Ain't going
Great
nowhere.
answer. Well, it's actually kind of a tough question for me because I have a few, and Brian actually took close to one of mine. I mean, I was going to go with the 7-inch slammer, but I think I will go with a like a Phantom style round nose, Chaos round nose glider. On the air glider, work very erratically, will catch fish.
There's a lot of documentation of that from that answer for you folks that like to watch Keys Outdoors YouTube videos. I don't know. I think you probably have the record for the amount of fish caught on film on a round nose glider, Brian, if I had to guess.
Yeah,
It's
I've
up
got
there.
quite a few of them on there.
I mean, it feels like it's 75% of the early season keys videos that you're in. You're up there just twitching that glider around and then just cleaning up.
The trick with them in the spring, though, I mean, you got to be really erratic. Just pop, 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 and the pause, let it sit there for a few seconds, pop, pop, pop. And it's this time of year, they're just so deadly. So as far as the question goes, I guess that'll be my answer. Yeah, it's my go-to if I need some action.
I think we need to throw more gliders. I think we've really struggled with that as a group. Because I
I
remember
would
last
be.
year, I don't think we used it a whole lot. And then I think, like, I want to say I guided that Tuesday or Wednesday, and we had action on a swimming dog, you know, same deal, kind of like early. And then I had two guys, so we had a little extra, you know, baits in the water. I'm like, here, throw this hellhound. Like, let's just see what happens. And it was just like instant. And the fish were all fired up on that thing. And I'm like, wow, that was stupid of us to not really throw a glider around a whole lot. So I
Yeah, I
think
mean
we'll have to
I made
do
it one of
that.
my goals this year is to catch a decent fish on a glide because I just never gave it much water time. But I got a couple at the expo, so that'll be number two in my rotation probably. Maybe number one, depending on how cold it is on opening morning.
Yeah, you got that new the Rusty's. Sucker glide, what's it called? Six sucker.
Rusty's, yeah, six sucker. I tried that thing in Iowa. I didn't personally get a fish on a glider down there, but it looks very good. It works super easily. You can do a little bit of the gun of the reel, a little bit of a twitch of the rod, and it's like smooth as butter. It's really nice.
Sweet.
And it's random too. It's not it does a good glide, but it has a little bit of a roll when it, you know, kicks out to the side, so it's good to see in a glider. But
Yeah,
yeah.
I do like gliders that are a little more erratic, not just mesmerizing, you know, back and forth, back and forth. I like them to go back and forth, up, down, you know, wiggle to them. Just seems to trigger more fish, and you'll get more fish following on something that's more mesmerizing that just zigzags back and forth.
That was always my issue with the Hellhound, was it felt so, and I probably could have just worked it better, but I feel like the Hellhounds really, kind of are, I don't
It's like
know. Very lucky
way too good of a glide. Like it's
one.
all it does is glide perfectly.
You can work them erratic, you know, you just got to give them a couple of quick snaps and then a pause and it gets them going. But they are, you know, they are pretty steady, mesmerizing glide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to fire up one more question, Gus?
Yeah, I can do that. We got one from our good friend Nate Bud again. Let's let this one.
He's a weekly caller, which I love.
I love to hear it. Yeah, I listened to this one, but I can't remember what it is. But let's let it
See
roll.
from Pittsburgh.
Hey, this is Nate from Pittsburgh. I heard you guys have been talking about post-spawn muskies. You think there's a such thing as post-spawn clarity? I'll hang up and listen. Love the show.
Do fish get post-spawn clarity?
I think so. Seems like they just disappear for a while thereafter. I don't know. Think about what they've done.
I think that's the best way to answer that. That's too good.
One and
Thank
done. One
one and
and
done.
done. Yeah. They're in
Right.
and they're out.
That's what we hope for, a good spawn. And then hopefully they're hunting some baits. That's all we can hope for. Oh yeah. All right, what else do we want to chat about on this opener? I think we kind of went through the weather watch, a little bit more bait talk going on, or predictions. I know Max had the lofty goal
I guess,
of 10, but
oh,
yeah,
predictions.
I got one question for you, Brian. I guess in the past, for opener, like you said, cold mornings, fish are moving slow, slow your bait presentation down. Are you also slowing the boat way down? Maybe like spending time circling back through a spot before you give up on it? Or are you kind of running and gunning and trying to figure out where they're at?
No, great question. Slow it down big time. Boat control is so important. And you know, look, when you get these cold mornings in the spring, these fish don't want to come flying after anything. So I mean, getting a cast just every few feet, you know, to every foot, just especially if you know it's a good area, we pretty much pound that area and fish it real slow. But boat control is very important.
Try to hit one on the head and get them all riled up.
Exactly.
And that same
The horns up, and if they get more aggressive, we can move a little faster. But if you know in the past, you know it's a really good spot, and you're seeing fish on side imaging. I mean, we work it slow, very slow this time of year, just like fall.
Yeah.
Pole control is very important. You don't want to be right on top of them, and actually getting close cast, but actually close to shore also too. If you're fishing like in a river or something. To cover.
Kind of in that same breath, something I do want to ask you too, and Gus, I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are. So I do think at least early season, you do see a lot of really, really lethargic fish sometimes. Well, they just follow, like, and you could just tell and read the fish and you know that they have no chance of eating then. Do you switch up at how long you wait to go back on that fish, or do you keep kind of trying to hit that area if you're moving lethargic fish on, like, say, a given shoreline, a stretch, and you move a couple slow fish? Are you just going to re-up and hit it again, or are you going to give them some time to wait for a window, maybe wait for the weather to warm up a little bit? What's your guys' thoughts on that? Because I do feel like sometimes there are some fish in the system that are just, like, potentially not even going to get fired up enough to eat that day, because maybe they did just do their business, not too long ago, and they're still kind of in that spawn funk.
Well, if they're following, they're interested, so that's a good sign, But I mean, we generally don't go back to them, as everyone says, until like a moon phase, a weather change, or some kind of environmental change. And that's if it's a worthy fish. If it's just a smaller fish, we just keep looking for new fish, but if it is following, it has somewhat interest. In rivers, we don't really go back on them too much because they're usually just moving.
Okay.
You see it in a river system, generally you're not going to go back and see it again.
Huh.
You're travelers.
Yeah, I think I agree there. I think a lot of fish are heavily travelers. I'm going to bring up, I just still can't remember where I saw the study, but it was done a long time ago when they first did like radio transmitters on fish, and it was back when the technology wasn't quite there. So I think like a majority of the fish died because they were too heavy or too much for the fish, but they tracked how much they moved, and May was still, it was like April and May were the 2 months where muskies move the absolute most, like a ridiculous amount. They will go, I can't remember what their average mileage was, but it was in a small lake. It was pretty hefty. And then July, August, it kind of, weans out to like a normal movement summer. That's why everyone says, summer established, summer peak, something like that. And then the fall movement again, they move, and then winter, they basically don't move at all once they find their wintering holes. But yeah, they move a lot. So I think we are going to hit a lot of spots, but hit them slow. I mean, it might be tough in going to newer places where we might have to look around a little bit more, but I think once we find fish, they're there for a reason, and then we kind of hunker in and go a little bit slower. But going back on raised fish, I don't know. I think once you get them up and moving this time of year, your best shot might be, in a relatively short amount of time to get that fish before it moves. Or its mood completely changes. So at least I think that's my opinion. It could change.
All right. And then let me fire another question at you guys too. This is something that a few people have DM'd us about. I know we've kind of lightly talked about it, but they just wanted a full rundown on kind of what opening day looks like for us, what the strategy is. We obviously kind of joked around that we might not get out at the crack of dawn, but just, day one on Northern Wisconsin opener, everyone's excited. I think some people just kind of want to hear what the game plan is, and for the full gamut, full Saturday.
You want me first?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, as I said before, I always start out usually on a flowage system, river flowage system, and I mean, right away, because the weather's, we've been talking about, it's going to be pretty cold in the morning, no matter what time I get out. If I eat breakfast or not, it's still going to be pretty cold out when I get there. So I'm going to start off with a glider. The body of water I'm starting on, I've fished plenty of times before, so I do have spots that I'm pretty confident in. So I'll hit those spots, and I'm going to hit them slow with a glider, and my partner will probably use a twitch bait and work those and work through all of our spots. As the day warms on, I'll probably start using some larger twitch baits, unless I'm having a lot of action on those smaller ones. And then we might add a little blade action to it too, you know. As last week was pretty warm, I was thinking, oh, big baits, and we're going to be using some blades and everything. But I mean, this week pretty much took her back, so we're going to be pretty much normal temperatures for opener. So yeah, I'm thinking a glider, just like I said, that round nose or a phantom starting. So
And then when are you hitting lunch, getting beers, and are you going back out after to a different system, or are you mailing it in after
that
those
all
like late
depends
afternoon
on what
lunch beers?
happens. Yeah, what happens in the morning? You know, if we get action, we get fish, we're definitely going back. But we'll probably check out a lake then after that. If the forages are off, then we'll go to a pot. Shallow body of water and try some weed edges that I found.
Okay.
And that will use small tubes, probably some pit bulls because it'll be later in the day. It'll be a little warmer. And I think I'm going to start off a little off the break. So.
There you go. It's a good game plan. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we discussed it at all yet on here, but we're gonna fish a similar system on opening morning as Brian Schaefer here. So that's why we're out scouting together the last week. So we're kind of pumped on that. It's a little newer for Max, Brian, Jack, and I, but I'm excited, and I think our post lunch plans are pretty much the same. If it's good, go back. If it's not, we're either going to go somewhere else or possibly nap to prepare for the night escapade, going a little bit into the night. So our morning is going to look the same. I think the only difference is that we got four people, so we're going to throw the kitchen sink. I don't even know if I need to go through what we're going to throw. It's literally going to be the kitchen
Everything.
sink.
Yeah.
I mean, opening morning excitement. I know Brian and Jack are just going to be, I mean, every 20 minutes, one of you is just going to be sitting down staring at the box. Maybe 10, 20 might be a little too long. But post lunch, say we don't go back, we take a little nap, we are going to head to a system that we think hopefully we're hitting it right on some hungry fish, good numbers, and go into the night. We definitely think it's a lake that might produce in the night. I got it pulled up right here. Eagle River area, so I mean it'll change a couple minutes depending on where you are in Vilas and Oneida, but we got a moon set at 6:08 p.m. and an underfoot at 10:38 p.m. So we're kind of looking forward to that, and I think we're just gonna basically use exactly what we're using during the day, but slow it down. You know, blade, slow it down, a swim bait, slow it down. I don't want to get you too excited, Brian, but maybe top water, slow it down, and some crankbaits, loud, noisy, wide wobble, jointed, all sorts of
I'm
stuff.
wondering with this new moon on Monday, if maybe the Sunday night would be our best bet for having good luck later into the night after we give it a couple days of warming up, get the fish to kind of push back shallow. I don't know. I don't know if I mean I know we've been planning on doing it opener night, but.
Right. I mean, I'm always open to suggestions. I also don't hate the idea of doing a little bit of a night each time. If we're gonna get up semi early for opening morning, we'll get a good gauge on if like early morning's the ticket.
Yeah, if
I
it's
mean,
worth the next day.
I think we use opening morning and like opening midday to gauge because the weather is so consistent. I feel like what we see on day one is probably what we're gonna see on Sunday and Monday morning. And if it sucks in the morning, then we do the night thing. And if it's really good in the morning, we might have to put a halt on that, possibly, to at least
That's a
Sunday
great
night or
idea.
something.
For sure. I mean, fishing until dark. I thought about it and we'll see what happens, but we usually a bunch of us meet up at night too. But a lot of guys skip night fishing this time of year, but it can be very good. So,
I mean,
but even
yeah.
if it's going to warm up as the week goes on and you got new moon, and it'll be a little warmer on Sunday night too. So, all the better.
Yeah, I just I don't know. I mean, you see, I know maybe it's a little different, but all those guys in Minnesota on opener, like they use opener as midnight, where us guys in Wisconsin, it's like 6, 7 a.m. That'll do. Fish better be moving, but
I
they're
know when
out
I
there
was in
chucking.
Milwaukee, a lot of guys would get out at midnight and ride Atlanta. I was like, yeah, no, I'll wait till five.
I'm sure Green Bay is the same.
Oh, for sure. From what I heard, there was like almost a line at midnight at the launch.
I mean, if I was going to do that and you just weren't going to sleep that night anyways, I would just go there at like, I don't know, 9 p.m. and just go walleye fishing, try and catch some big walleyes and just hang out there and then musky fish at midnight. So you're at least
Exactly.
not bored or in a stupid long line.
The last few times I fished out there was years ago, but we did all-nighters out there on opener. Not opener, but opening week, and did very
Yeah.
well.
Nice. Best.
You only have about two other boats there compared to, you can walk across them during the
I think we have a good on the line caller that this could segue nicely into, Gus, if you want to play that.
I think it would. We are bringing up Green Bay, so let's get a Green Bay on the line, sending into the Mott line, as he calls it, Mr. Phil Stadola.
What's up, boys? This is Phil from Green Bay calling in on the Mott line. Going to get my hair cut right now, making sure the musky mullet is on point, making sure I'm looking good for that grip and grin. If Carl and I put a big one in the boat this weekend, as per tradition, Carl and I, Mr. Huntsy Tails himself, are going to be fishing in Green Bay. I just have a little PSA for any people who might be coming to Green Bay for the first time. Want to put out a little bit of an advisory. And it's not saying don't come, but there might be some red flags that might tell you that fishing Green Bay is not the answer for you on opening day. Red flag number one. You have heard yourself say to other people, "Man, I can't stand fishing near other people." Listen, if you're on the river on opening day, it is a boat parade from before dark till after dark. It is a ton of people there. Everybody's there. Everybody's excited. It's opening day. Everybody wants a chance at a fish of a lifetime. 2019, I caught the biggest fish of my biggest casting fish of my life on opening day. The opportunity is there, but everybody knows it, and everybody's gonna be there. Number two, you've ever said to yourself, "Man, when I get cut off, I really lose my temper." Well, let me tell you, with all the people that are going to be there fishing shorelines, when there's an opening, somebody's going to move in, somebody's going to start fishing. It's not cutting you off, it's just the way of the road, Bubbles. There's nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. If that's a problem for you, maybe think about fishing somewhere else. And lastly, number three, if you're the kind of guy who goes fishing, has any of these things happen, and then goes on Facebook and bitches about it, you're gonna look like a nut. And people are gonna say to you, "Wow, sounds like you've never been to Green Bay before." Because, yeah, there's places you can go and you can get away from the crowd, but if you're gonna go fish the river, you're gonna be in the thick of it. And just a PSA, I hope everybody has a great opening weekend. I hope Gus has just a king size white monster in his hand on opening day, and I just hope that everybody finds what they're looking for. So, tight lines, everybody. Have a great opener, and good luck to everybody.
Thank you, Phil. That
Thanks,
was a
Phil.
great
Well
PSA on
said.
Green Bay. Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, I will see what I can do about getting a white monster in my hand on opening morning, Phil.
What was caught last year on Green Bay opener? Like a 54 or something?
Was
A
there?
younger is a younger kid, yeah. It's something
Probably.
outrageous.
Yeah.
54, I think. 53, 54.
I could see that.
Seems like plenty of nice fish get caught in Green Bay every opener. It's a
Yeah.
good PSA though, Phil. Just getting the word out.
Yep. We always appreciate that.
Have
But
you guys over there before?
not on opener, no. I fished there in different occasions in Green Bay, but I've never been in the Fox River before. So, do you have any
Did you
tips for
dab one
anybody?
at a,
What's that,
yeah.
Brian?
Yeah, I was just kind of asking what you
For
were.
Green Bay? Not
Yeah,
familiar.
Fox River, Green Bay opener.
Not really. If it was up to me, I would be doing all-nighters out there. That would be my tip.
Jeez.
But I'm not a combat fisherman, so.
Is it more worth it to go after, a Green Bay Giant? Like, is it worth it to go after him on opener, or would you rather just wait till August and go catch him on the reef like everyone else? I mean, is there a method, like, is there a reason for all the madness?
Well, there's a lot of fish up there, Very good chance of catching a monster. They're all up there, So yeah, I guess it is. But the reason I fish it all night, you don't have the combat fishing, and there's so many buildings there with all the lights, it's almost like daylight when you're fishing out there. So I'm
Yeah.
sure they're gonna get mad for me bringing that up. Like, shh. But it's
Yeah.
not bad at all. It's pitch black, you can see perfectly fine, and the fish are biting all night. That would be my tip.
Yeah.
If I were to go, that's what I would do.
Makes sense. Yeah, I don't know, opener has always just been a kind of fun tradition now that we've done. Sounds like you do it with your buddy too, where, even though it's Memorial Day weekend, a lot of the, more tourist lakes are pretty busy up in northern Wisconsin. When you get out, get away from that, it seems like you can actually get away from the crowds pretty good. And we always kind of turn it into a total exploratory couple of days. We fish a bunch of different lakes, bunch of different systems, and it's just kind of a fun deal that we've been able to do now for a bit.
Yeah.
And it's an easy one to just circle on your calendar, get super excited for. And so I don't know, that's what I'm most excited for opener this year. And it always seems like we do, we have kind of a varying year by year thing. Some years it's been good, some years it's totally sucked. So it's,
Well,
who knows?
we're always different. Every year is different. So what worked last year, probably is not going to work this year. So, but
Right.
openers are fun. I mean, we have a get together to a bunch of guys, and we pay out for big fish and whatnot. And it's I never guide opening weekend that first week, and out of all of us, we all talk, so you get to learn things pretty quickly, and what's all the nights. Because there's a bunch
Yeah.
of us around, all on different bodies of water, so it's pretty fun.
Yes. We might have to get in on the big fish pot for this opener
Oh yeah.
this
Did you
year.
opening weekend or just opening day?
This Saturday and half a day Sunday. And
Okay.
then we'll meet up, and who knows what happens from there.
I probably have an idea.
Sometimes.
Oh man. Well, what do you guys think here? I mean, I think we covered our bases pretty good. I know we're all pretty excited here. Get things going. I mean, anything
Yeah, I'm
else
gonna
we
ask
kind of
you
wrap
guys a
up on?
question here. What are your top five baits you're going to be using this weekend?
Top five baits. Man, I mean, I know I've been posting a lot about it, and it's a bait I've been pumped about. And Schaefer, I know you got one. Is that hammer jerk from our good buddy Nick? Saw that thing really shine last fall, and took him down to Iowa, and it really shined on post-spawn muskie. So I'm kind of excited to see what it does here. It'll be my first time using it like this time of year around here, so I'm excited on that one. Another one that I've really started to like a lot, if I do run a glide bait, is that Tom Harrison super or yeah, is it the super glide?
Glider.
Yeah, super glide. Tom's custom musky bait super glide. It's like the 7-inch one. It's a little beefier than, most would say on a spring glide bait, but I love the action of it. And like you said, I got to build the confidence. You don't have to worry about
I
throwing
hear good reports
small
on that.
baits. Yeah, it works just flawlessly, and it hangs really well. And every time you, slackline hit it, or however you want to work the glide, it just kind of like shimmies. It doesn't just go back and forth like, say, a hellhound. It like kind of the whole bait rolls when it turns out. And then it kind of shimmies and rolls on the way to the other side. So it's got that extra
Like it.
flash, extra something in the water that I think they really like, and a different tail. Gotta love the tail with just like the triple twister right there. So there's two. I don't want to take up too many. I don't know if you guys want to add to that, Max Brian.
Yeah, I suppose it'd take forever for us to all get
Yeah. Right through five. I was just gonna say you gotta, be wanting to throw any of the new baits you bought in the off season. I got a box full of them I'm bringing up. I already touched on the fatty slammer minnow. We already touched on the Rusty's glide bait. The other one that I'll definitely throw, I don't know if it'll be like a, very viable bait depending on kind of the musky activity, but I did get that custom, is it Showgirl or whatever Mayhem calls it, but it's like a marabou hot pink bucktail. So I'm definitely gonna be getting that thing wet a little bit, seeing how it looks.
I think it was a double eight. It might have been a showgirl. I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that. Either way, give it a shot. I mean, if it gets nice and warm in the afternoon, I think a fish will go on blades. So I don't know. Might as well try a little bit larger, see what happens.
Max, how about you?
Yeah, I'm excited. Glide bait wise, I'll be throwing the Conklin and the Toms and the Rusty, probably a little bit all three of them, just to see, which ones are kind of I'm feeling the most that day. And then, speaking of bucktails, I got that flamethrower from Musky Addicts. I don't know, Brian, if you've seen that. It's a
I haven't,
Gus.
though.
You'll have to help me out, Gus. I don't know exactly the blade combinations, but it's like a triple bladed bucktail. It's got, I
They've two
believe,
different. It's like it's on like a one piece clevis for the double. It's I want to say it's like an 8.8 Indiana, and then ahead of it we have one or two that are an 8 Colorado, and then another one that's a 9. So there's like a couple combos that he makes, and he's got them spaced out really well. That and when I was demoing them, when there's first a little bit of open water just from like shore to check out all the baits we got after the show, they like it's a bucktail that that has that tiny little bit of wobble. Like why stager baits
Sure.
catch so many fish, stager bucktails. It's just like that, where it's just kind of
Sounds like
shimmying
it
the
could be an
skirt.
interesting night bait.
Yeah, well, so that's perfect way to lead me in there, Brian. I appreciate that. That's what the bait I'll probably be trying to throw at night. And also, I bought it specifically for this lake that we're going to because it has such a high population of bluegills, and he made this unbelievable bluegill pattern.
Nice.
And a buddy of ours, a couple years ago, caught a nice fish on a bluegill bucktail, and it was a color we didn't ever have in our box. And so he, when he made it, he's like, "Oh, I made this bait for," I think he called it like a tonka killer, like for Minnetonka. And I'm like, "Man, there's a lake up in northern Wisconsin that the clarity and the forage is like perfect for that bucktail." So I'm really excited to throw that on, whether it's Saturday or Sunday night, whenever we go to that lake. So I'll be throwing a couple of those new gliders that I think it's called the flamethrower, right? I don't want to misspeak. It's the flamethrower bucktail. And then probably the swim fin a little bit, and also the meat wagon for Musky Addicts. I'm gonna throw that around a little bit, I think, this weekend, just with how good swim baits have been for us in the spring. That thing we threw that in Cave Run a little bit, and we were like, "Wow, that looks like," I don't want to sound mean, but it looks way, well, probably not mean. It looks better in the water than it does in your hand. Like you're holding it, you're like, "What the heck?" And then you throw it and you're like, "Wow, this thing's got some pretty sweet action," and it
That's
pushes.
what
Yeah. So yeah, just gonna try to be throwing, like Brian said, all the new stuff, and then I'll probably end up catching a fish on a giant killer or a 7-inch slammer, but
the go-to's going back to the
yeah.
early, on the line. Like, what's the
Yeah.
one bait you grab?
Yeah. But it'll be fun to throw all the new stuff. Cave was cool to get out and fish, but it never really felt truly like musky fishing down there for a lot of it. And you couldn't
No.
see any of the baits. So, this will really feel like my first time I'm seeing these baits and the action and all that stuff. So I'm pretty
Without
excited.
all the stress of a tournament,
Yeah. And that was, I mean, more or less just the water clarity down there was so bad. So it's like I was all excited to, Gus is saying, "Oh, you got to see the action on this swim fin." And I'm like, "Well, I wish I could. I mean, it looked cool a little bit when I could see it for the couple, seconds it was coming in, but you just didn't really get an idea on it." So this weekend will be really fun to mess around with all the new stuff we got this year. I felt like we really loaded up at the shows. So yeah, there's the swim
Absolutely.
fin.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
like in between a reg and a mag swimming dog kind of size. I think it's like 9 inches or something like that. As soon as we go a little bit deeper, wherever we go for fishing this weekend, this is going to be pulled out. This or
How deep do they run?
pit. It can go. You have to pump it pretty good to keep it in like the top 3 feet, I'd say. If you work it a little bit slower, it's definitely going to go 5, 6 or more. So, it's got a heavy head. I don't know how much you can see. This is like the unicorn color. That it's all the weight is right where my finger
Okay.
is in the front. Like that's all
Looks
of
like
the
I
weight.
can kind of see it through the rubber there.
Yeah, it's kind of just like a lead ball up there, but it's got a nice walk. But yeah, if I'm not, it's going to be like this or a pit bull or. And if I go small, it'd probably be like the mini Dusa or something like that. So
Yeah,
yeah.
I got a new crappie colored pit bull from TRO. I think it was an old Keys color, maybe even, and
I
that
think it was
looked
KO Crappie.
KO crappie, and that one looked
Yeah,
really
that's
good. I'm gonna be throwing that probably this weekend when we get out to the lake and move a little deeper. But no, I'm really fired up. Can't wait. It's gonna be a good weekend.
Yeah, I'm pumped, excited. I like the weather. I'd rather have what we have going on than going out there in 85, 90, sunny and flat
I
calm.
agree. I agree. That always seemed to be when we had our worst openers, was when it was really
And
hot and stagnant, and now, nothing felt like, everything just felt impossible.
that's when we did get them in the morning, and then once it got past 10 a.m., it's like, all right, pack it up. That's the
Yeah.
year we should have really night fished.
Yep, I was just going to
Yeah.
say that. That's definitely
Yeah.
it's
So we'll
tough.
see. But I wish everyone out there best of luck. I got nothing more for you here tonight, gents. It was just a fun one, as always.
As always, no, I'm all set here. I mean, I think we covered it all. I mean, between what we just talked about with current conditions, I mean, we talked about the weather. I know we mentioned it a few weeks ago, and Brian Max, we're on. We had the Weathy Watch. We're here now. Pretty pumped. We'll have a recap, of course, of how the weekend went, probably just the crew. But yeah, between this pod and last week's pod about Iowa, where we pretty much only talked about post-spawn muskies, I think that'll pretty much get you what you need to know, at least to get out in the water. And then once you're out there, just hammer it home. It's muskie season. It's what you got to remember is that they don't always come easy. So just put your time on the
I do
water
have
and
one last question. I was gonna ask it off air, but it might be good for people listening too. I might be in the market for a new reel pretty soon here. My reel was starting to combust on itself towards the end of last year. Brian, what reels have you been rocking, or are you rocking this year?
Kind of a whore on reels. I got a little bit of everything. Shimano, Garcia's, Daiwa's. So, yeah.
I've had the Abu Garcia Beast, I believe it's called.
Great
And it was
reel.
gr yeah, it was great for what, like 2 years, and then I don't know, maybe I left it out in the rain or something, but like the drag will not get tight anymore. It's fully cinched down. I can still pull it out, like if I tug really hard. So I don't
It's the
know.
drag and not your line slipping on the spool.
It's not the line slip. I mean, I'm pretty sure we tried to reline it.
I did. I put a
Yeah.
ton of backing on it. I remember you telling me that. I'm like, oh, I can't remember if I even did it at the start either. But I redid it. I mean, we
Yeah.
can try it for a third time and see if
And I
we're
mean that
wrong.
reel, the mount had already broke on me while I was ripping rubber. So I'd sent it in, they sent me a new one, and now like the drag's slipping, so I just have had bad luck with
You're just too strong, man.
it. Maybe.
I do like Shimano's, I guess. I'm a
Yeah.
Shimano.
I mean, I'd say overall for what we've been using, it's the Shimano 400 high gear. And if you want for like a couple extra bucks and maybe it's a little heavier, I've been super happy with the Pen Fathom. They
I
make like
heard
a
good things about them.
7.1 gear ratio. I slapped that on the 9 foot extra heavy rod, and that's like if I'm throwing the pit bull, it's going to be on that rod probably. Like that's the go-to rubber rod pretty much the entire year. I think I use that 9 foot extra heavy with the 500 tranks or that Pen Fathom, like a
yeah,
shit ton last year.
That's my rubber setup, the 500 with the 9 foot heavy.
Brian Eckel, did you hear my setup for Minnesota this year?
Max absolutely dialed.
I got two rods. I got a 10-6 extra heavy and a 10-6 heavy. And I got a Tranx 500 PG and a Tranx 500
high gear. Dude, a 10-6. You're not that tall.
Doesn't have to bend over for figure eights.
Yeah. No, Gus got we got some prototype St. Croix rods that are 10-6, and I didn't mind them. And I'm like, you know what? These are gonna be nicely paired with a couple Tranx 500s. So I'm gonna be locked and loaded for Minnesota this year, just throwing giant blades, giant rubber all year.
That's
down
pretty
here.
Sweet.
Can't wait. Yeah. So
we're definitely gonna have to We're definitely have to be watching ourselves this weekend. You know, obviously the new boat, I got a little extra space, but maybe not enough space for myself to use a 10 footer, Brian to use his 9-6, you to use a 10-6, and Jack to use his 10 footer.
I will not be throwing my, I will not be touching the 10-6s this weekend.
Is it telescope down or do you need to get a bigger car?
No,
they break down.
Yeah, they break down, luckily.
I don't know how much we're supposed to be talking about, but for. Either way, they're freaking awesome.
Coming soon.
Hey, Josh, did you clean your new boat yet?
I haven't put the vacuum through it yet. No.
Wow.
Ranner since Kentucky.
Maybe I have to get these four Yahoos out of my boat and might clean it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brian barely hits his mouth when he snacks, so it'll definitely be definitely going to be needing a clean after this weekend.
Yeah, no point in cleaning it now.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm going to run a quick vacuum through it because there's a little bit of stuff that fell into it. With the high winds and the rain lately, I noticed it got...
Oh, no.
She's got to stay all beautiful.
I might even do a brand new boat. I might get a bag of sunflower seeds before we go out.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to whoop that ass.
Hey, Brian, you got to get
I'm
those
kicking
pork
you out.
Rinds. They're really clean.
Got to get what?
Pork rinds.
Pork rinds.
You gonna pick up Chaw again just for this weekend?
Oh no, we won't leave a seed trail in the lake so everybody knows where we are. Not the best idea.
Yep. Yeah, somebody pops on the lake the next day, like, the Mott boys were here.
Somebody's been here.
All right. Well, we're excited to see you Saturday morning.
Yeah, it'll be a good time, guys.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, I think we covered everything. So before our Brian takes us away, Brian, if you want to give out your details, if you got some more openings this year and whatnot for musky fishing.
I do have some openings. June's pretty well booked up already, but over the summer, there's quite a few openings and some in the fall. But you can just go to my website at SchaeferOutdoors.com and you can do call me from there and email everything right through there. Social media, I'm not on a ton, so I'm a little slow at answering anything on social media.
There you go. Give them a call or text or voicemail. Yeah. And as always, you can find the Muskies on Tap stuff. If you're listening and don't already follow, we got a Facebook and an Instagram and some merch on www.sugsfishing.com. So if you want to check that out, that would be awesome. Otherwise, we wish everybody the best of luck on opening weekend for Northern Wisconsin Muskie Opener finally here. So, Brian, let's give everybody a good little outro here. Now that you're back.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to Brian Schaefer for coming on this week. We will see you this weekend. Everybody, we made it to Northern Wisconsin Opener. Make sure as you're driving up north, listen to this, you dial back that speed limit. You do not need to go 20 miles an hour over the speed limit to get up north. The fish will still be there when you get there. Everyone have a safe weekend. Good luck. And hopefully everyone catches 10 fish like Max thinks we will. Peace.
Peace.